morning, Obi-Wan, and welcome to the Grace Hour, a wonderful Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us to walk and grow in faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Ronaldo Brown, and I'm in studio with Pastor Shibeli. And today we're continuing our theme from this week on practical evangelism. We'll be talking specifically about the Holy Spirit's job in evangelism. We'd love to hear from you during the program. You can call us at 1-800-338-7060 internationally or locally at 410-483-3700. We'd love to hear your comments and questions as well on questions@gracehour.org. Also, you can connect with us on YouTube and Facebook. As well, hopefully you'll be subscribing to our podcasts that are Apple, Google, Spotify, as well as others. You can watch us throughout the day, anytime. You can just watch back-to-back Grace Hours. We'd love to hear from you anyway, this program, at this time. So please write in and call in, and we begin with a thought from Pastor Shibeli.
It's very interesting that the ministry of the Holy Spirit and evangelism is so often not even put together. It's kind of like people talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but you don't hear a whole lot of talk about evangelism and missions, which I think is kind of interesting, and it's how the enemy can work to steal or to remove from the thought patterns of an individual or a church what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want to first start off with seven things about the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said in John 14, 15, and 16, he said he's the Spirit of truth, and this will all connect to evangelism. We're bringing the truth to the streets. He's a spirit, he's called the comforter, which means he's an encourager, an exhorter. And that's what we bring to evangelism. We're there to encourage people, to exhort them. Number three, it says he will testify of Jesus Christ, okay? That's evangelism, testifying about the person of Christ. Number four says he will abide forever. We're bringing eternal life viewpoint in evangelism. It also says he will reprove the world, and that's evangelism, reprove, convict or convince is a better word, of sin. That's where mercy comes in. Righteousness is a gift of God, and judgment, the finished work. Number six, he will guide you into all truth. And number seven, he will glorify the person of Christ. So these are the seven real key principles of the ministry of the Holy Spirit as spoken from the very lips of Jesus in John 14, 15, and 16. Truth, comfort, testify, eternal, reprove, guide, and glorify. These are two interesting things. And with many people today, you know, in the book of Acts, when the Spirit came and Peter began to speak right after the ministry of the Holy Spirit, there were two questions that were asked. What does this mean? And what shall we do? You know, sometimes we can define what it means. The Holy Spirit has a ministry to reach people, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to reach people. What does this mean? We're given the Holy Spirit not just to be saved and be born again and forever live with God, have eternal life, to understand the Bible, and to walk with God in his plan, but we're given the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to reach people. Reaching people. This is one of the things that does not happen. If you were to look at the churches across America and churches across the world, you would ask a question: how many of them even think it's important to evangelize? They might say it's important to evangelize.
Sure.
What does this mean? Oh yes, we must evangelize. We receive Christ and we get saved. But the second question: what shall we do? Does anything happen? Does anything take place? And if the enemy would like to do anything as far as his plan and his will in 2 Timothy 2:23 through 25 will be to stop Christians or churches in particular, then Christians in the churches to do no evangelism at all, to not even reach out at all to people. And really, this is what has taken place. I mean, if you think about the trends that have occurred in what we call these last days or these days that we have, one of those trends is a great trend is to keep people from sharing their faith, to keep a church from having an evangelical emphasis. I'm really thankful for our church, and I'm not trying to like promote our church or anything like that, but we have 788 churches. I think it's over 800 now because I think there was another 12 or 13 just added. We have maybe 800 churches in all the world, and we really, really believe that these churches evangelize. They speak to people. They have an evangelical outreaches on a weekly basis, at least on a weekly basis. And I think that's important, because before people will do it on a personal basis, it's very important that they're a part of a church that does it, because that's where they will be taught, they will be developed, they will be trained to testify of the gospel. And yes, radio programs are great. We're on a radio program right now. But if you read 2nd and 3rd John, John talks about seeing people face to face and really ministering to people. You know, to evangelize over the radio, there's not a whole lot of confrontation that takes place. Not really. Not the way it would if you were preaching the gospel someplace or evangelizing somebody in some particular location. So really, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to evangelize. Just read Acts chapter 2. I mean, what do they keep saying? Acts 2, 3, 4, in those verses, and 3,000 were added. And then it became 5,000. Mm-hmm. What's that telling me? That's telling me that the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes and the church is on fire with God, the church is filled with the Spirit, now they'll be led by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, obey the Spirit. What are they going to do? They're in, by the way, they're in Jerusalem, where Jesus himself was actually brought for trial and convicted in a very ungodly way, and then murdered, died on a cross. But yet, because of a lack of fear, because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives, they were not afraid to begin the ministry right in the very place where there was the greatest opposition. Isn't that interesting, huh? Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me. I hear people tell me all the time, you shouldn't go to this country, you shouldn't go to this country, you shouldn't go to this country because of their particular religious bent. That's the very place we should be. That's the very place we should be. What are people afraid of? Opposition or fear? And by the way, God has not given, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, the power of the Spirit, the love of the Father, and the mind of the Son. Think about that. So that we're given an opportunity with an open door to evangelize and minister to people. And that is something that is neglected in so many Christians' lives and in so many church life. Mm-hmm. And I don't, first of all, look at the Christian as an example, but I look at the church, and if the church doesn't do it, people come to those churches. By the way, I would not be a part of a church that doesn't evangelize. If you told me, if you are out there and your church doesn't have any idea or thought pattern about evangelism, what are you doing there? Why would you even be going there? I know that sounds kind of strong and kind of tough, but guess what? Do you think if a church doesn't care about the ministry of the Holy Spirit reaching lost people, then is it a church? Is it an ecclesia? The word church, ecclesia, means those who have been outcalled, called out. So the outcall don't want to do any more calling. You know, they put the phone down. They shut the receiver off. So those who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, they don't want to be involved with that anymore. At all. There's no involvement. And I know some people don't ever want to emphasize these things, don't want to talk about them because it just isn't the thing to do. You're liable to offend people. Well, Jesus said in John 6, 60 through 68, does this offend you? I mean, I'm going to offend you. How is that? By the way, my flesh gets offended. My flesh gets offended. So really, the heart of God is to reach people. He loves people. Mm-hmm. We know the verse, God so loved the world, right? That he gave his one and only, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall never perish. You mean people are perishing? Yeah, people are perishing. They're on their way to a destiny separated from God. And yet the church does really very little about that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying there's a lot of churches that are very good at evangelism and really promote it and speak about it. I'm not talking about having to have an organized outreach, but in my heart, do I want to see people get saved? Mm. And how about this prayer? You think God would answer this prayer? Lord Jesus, help me to proclaim the gospel and help me to speak to people. And God says, no, not interested in that prayer. Mm. That's ridiculous. Okay, so the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to bring the gospel to lost people, and that's what you see. He's bringing them the word. He's bringing them the life of God himself. He's bringing them the finished work of the cross, the love of God as seen in what the person of Christ did. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Certainly there's other aspects of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but why is this one always on the back burner? Never really talked about that much. That's interesting to me. That's because demon spirits do everything they can to prevent churches and Christians from reaching out with the gospel. By the way, do you know that maybe only one out of every 10 people in this world is saved? Mm. People have this idea that everybody's saved. Maybe they look at places like Africa mm-hmm. or America where the gospel is here. Are you kidding me? There's 1.3 billion people in China. How many of them are saved? 1.3 billion people in India, mm-hmm. Asia. Think about these massive populations that really do everything they can to keep the ministry of the Holy Spirit from entering in, keep the churches out.
Yep.
Illegal to have a church in places. Can you believe that one? Mm-hmm. Illegal if somebody gets converted in some massive countries. If you get converted and you are caught being a part of that conversion, they're going to either put you in jail or remove you.
Yes.
The ministry of the Holy Spirit. Reaching people, not just the things that were said, those seven things in the beginning, but having a ministry to reach people with a message that can save them.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Great thoughts today. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Please write in or call in. You can reach us by email, questions@gracehour.org. You can also reach us on YouTube and Facebook. You can log in and give us your comments and questions. And, or you could call. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
On this theme especially. And I would say this before I give the numbers. I want to say this is that when people believe that the heart of God is to reach people, but do you believe that the Spirit of God's desire is to reach people? This century, there is an emphasis on the Holy Spirit's work and the sanctification of the believer, but not the salvation of the believer. And when that's why the interpretation of the Holy Spirit is always what he's doing in the church rather than what he's doing towards lost people. Mm-hmm. Their gospel is missing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We'd love to hear from you about this. Call us internationally at 1-800-338-7060 or locally at 410-483-3700. Thank you.
I have a question for you. Do you think people really believe in hell?
I don't know if a lot of Christians
they
do.
They do theologically.
Yes.
Okay. And in theory. Mm-hmm. But in practice, do they realize that people walking down the streets are on their way to a destiny separated from God?
Mm.
Do they realize that? Right now, we have our Christian school going out on evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
They went out. I don't know why. They go out at 11. I was hoping for 12. O'clock, but whatever, that's not on me. But it's interesting, we want our Christian school, our Bible school,
mm-hmm.
where we're training people to be trained and to be involved with it, reaching people, even if it's just handing them a track or a piece of paper,
mm-hmm.
saying very little. Prayer meetings, how about prayer meetings for lost people?
Yep.
Prayer meetings for evangelism, and then really putting it into practice. And by the way, as the leaders go, so goes the church. You know what I say to people? Like we do ordinations in Africa,
mm-hmm.
like maybe quite a few times a year, maybe four times a year in mm-hmm. a major way. I tell people that when I'm having an ordination service, if you're a pastor and you do not evangelize, you should hand it in tonight. I know that sounds really strong. You know what? But like, so you don't even care about evangelism. I'm not talking about they missed once or twice or something happened, whatever. But the major trend in their life as a leader has nothing to do with evangelism or lost people. Why would God anoint anything they say in the pulpit? In other words, they have no desire. They want to, yes, okay, so it's great. They want to see Christians grow in the Bible, but they themselves have not grown.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't grown in that area. Mm-hmm. So really, what are they doing? Just passing on information, or are they speaking with an anointing? And the spirit and the heart of God and the life of God. Can you imagine? There was one of the 12 maybe that didn't make it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you can think about this. These men became missionaries. They became people
sure.
that evangelized. Actually, I think 11 of them died as martyrs.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them died as martyrs. And why did they die? Because they sat in their house with a locked door and the light off?
It's interesting that, again, right now, the push has been, I'm going to say for the last 50 plus years, the emphasis of the Holy Spirit's work in the church. And when we teach about the Holy Spirit, we talk about the life of the Spirit in the believer as far as their gifts, as far as their ministry in the church. But the Holy Spirit's not, like you said, he's not linked to salvation or the gospel. And I think one of the reasons why, Pastor Billy, is when we teach salvation, we don't teach the Holy Spirit's involvement. Like when a person becomes a Christian, how is the Holy Spirit involved?
Right. He will testify of me. Isn't that what I just said before?
Yes.
How is the Holy Spirit involved? He's in the life of the believer. He's a person, not a power.
Okay.
Must understand that one. He's the person. And am I going to yield to the Holy Spirit? Am I going to yield in my decision making to the new man or the old man?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing. But then again, there are people that want to yield to the new man, but only in how they understand the new man.
Sure.
Not in all aspects of the character of the person of the Holy Spirit. So really, this has been a long-term thing that has taken place over the course of many years.
You
know how water going over rocks eventually wears those rocks down? It can take 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Yes.
So what's happened since Pentecost has been an interesting way of the enemy wearing down the saints, wearing down the saints and removing these things, and yet making people think that they are really spirit-filled Christians when they do not even care about whether people are lost. I'm not saying that everybody's going to go out there and do it, but if I really care about lost people, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to be asking to have help to be involved in doing it. I'm going to ask God for opportunities. But this is not what's taking place because they're only interested in the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church, not outside the church. And then there are people that have an interest only in the ministry of the Holy Spirit outside the church, and they are not part of a church.
That's right.
That's also not a balanced approach.
Exactly.
In other words, they're winning people. They can be in parachurch. What does para mean anyway? Parachurch, alongside of a church.
Yeah.
Not in the church. So they don't need a church, but they want to evangelize. Mm-hmm. Thank you for wanting to evangelize. But where are you going to bring people?
That's true.
Where are you going to bring people? So this has to be a balanced ministry. If it's Christianity, there's a ministry of the Spirit in the church and a ministry of the Spirit outside of the church to a lost and dying world. We have somebody, I think.
So basically, if I understand that salvation is part of that the Holy Spirit is part of salvation, wouldn't that cause me to be more conscientious about my relationship with the Holy Spirit while I'm evangelism? Because a lot of folks, they believe evangelism is I go out and I talk about God.
Yeah.
And there's no inclusion of the Holy Spirit in the evangelism.
Absolutely. It's all human reason.
Yeah.
It's all religious theology that's brought forth, and there's really no leading. Am I led by the Holy Spirit who to speak to?
That's right.
Okay. Am I led by the Holy Spirit what to say?
Mm-hmm.
Am I led by the Holy Spirit in prayer for people? Am I spirit led?
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Spirit could lead me to go out,
right?
But then I go out and I just go out in the flesh. I go out with human reason.
Wow.
I go out with a carnal mindset. I go out looking for results. I remember I used to hear some people say, "Oh yeah, we went out on evangelism and 83 people got saved." I said, "Yeah. How come not one of them ever came to church?" You know, what is it? What is it? Just like a track attack? A track attack? You know, and the more people I talk to, is it really heart to heart?
Mm-hmm.
Is it spirit to spirit? Is there a connection there? So the Holy Spirit is going to motivate me to go, and then the Holy Spirit is going to be there to guide me and lead me when I'm out there. And what to say and how to approach people. And maybe the Holy Spirit will say, don't talk to this person.
Right.
They're not ready. Maybe they will be next week or a year later. Or the Holy Spirit says, speak to this person, and the person looks very intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, totally intimidating, and you don't want to do it. It's not always easy to talk to people that you don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to take God, isn't it?
That's right.
It's going to take God. You know, because people will say that. You know, that's not an easy thing to do. Yeah, I know. It's going to take God.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to be a Christian if God is involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
My yoke is easy.
Right.
You ever hear people say it's so hard? Being
all
a Christian is so hard. I get so tired of that. What do you mean it's hard?
Yeah.
Like, I know who you're linked to, who you're yoked to, yourself, or some religious philosophy. Christianity, my yoke is easy.
Yes, right.
My burden is light. Yeah. This is what Jesus said. So if you say my yoke is hard and my burden is heavy, who are you fellowshipping with?
And maybe that's why folks are so intimidated. They don't see the Holy Spirit in evangelism. Right. It's just me on my own going out there with my Christian experience. And I just, God, what do I say? How do I say it? I don't know. Or I get professional and I've got like a special little Romans road, or I've got a special thing that I say. But if it's like you said, without the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Even if the person says yes or they say no, what are they saying yes and no to?
And is he a spirit of faith?
That's true.
Yes, he's a spirit of faith.
Amen.
Have faith in God. I remember one time I was in China and people warned me.
Mm-hmm.
People in the area that was not at that time communist China, but it was another part of Hong Kong area.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of different pastors from different churches tell me, do not go in there and speak about the gospel openly. Be very careful what you do, you know. So the first place I went to was Guangzhou,
mm-hmm.
and I had Jackie Blount sing a song, an African-American mm-hmm. singing a song. That drew a big crowd because basically, like, they never saw something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to speak and preach, and I had no translator, and the man stood next to me and started translating into Chinese. And before you know it, the crowd was, you know, 100, 200, 500, 1,000 people were there.
Wow.
And you know what? We were never touched. I spoke in China, I think, for like 14 days straight.
Mm.
And Pastor Loftus said to me, just be led by God, because I work here in China. I might have some reservations about certain things, but you do whatever you want. Do whatever you please. And God did it, and a work took place. And that was the Holy Spirit saying, don't fear.
Mm-hmm.
But I was listening to Christians who were telling me, don't do this.
Mm.
This is crazy. This is not good. This is going to, you know, you're going to end up in this particular situation. But what does the ministry of the Holy Spirit say?
Mm-hmm.
What does the ministry of the Holy Spirit say? And that's very important. You know, you're buying a pair of shoes and, should I say Kmart? Do you buy this Kmart sell shoes? Maybe not.
No, one's wearing those shoes.
Okay. So you're buying something at Kmart and God just lays it on your heart to talk to the person that's sitting or standing next to you is also buying something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're going through a crisis in their life and you just say, hey, look, I just want to tell you God cares for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the flesh is always intimidated. The flesh is always going to be intimidated by other flesh,
mm-hmm.
you know, and because behind other flesh is the world system and an enemy. We have an opportunity. We got George on the line here.
That's amazing. That's amazing. We'll get to that call in 1 second. So I want to just regroup what you've said so far. You said the Holy Spirit jobs in evangelism helps us, number one, to have confidence.
Yes.
That I'm not walking in my own confidence, but in my confidence in God. And that's key. And then you alluded to the Holy Spirit also does the work of convicting it in people's lives. I'm not convicting anybody. I'm not changing anybody. It's the work of the Spirit.
I like the word convince as well.
Okay.
Because elegeko actually means.
Okay.
They use it. They say it, conviction, but I think it's also a convincing.
Okay.
I'm there to convince people.
That's actually a better word.
I like that.
I can connect more with convince than convict.
So confidence, then convince.
Yeah, and then number three, you kind of point out just the wisdom of evangelism. Where do I go? Who do I talk to? Just the wisdom of it and how to approach somebody.
He that winneth souls is what?
Wise.
Wise. See, this is key in knowing how come you're not talking to that person? Well, maybe God hasn't told me that. How come you haven't gone down that street?
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
God has told me not to go down that particular street. You know, and you say, oh, come on, that's subjective. That's emotional subjectivity. Mm-hmm. No, it's just being led by God.
Discernment. Yeah.
Somebody gave me a track in 1974 before I got saved.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a girl about 5'1" tall with pigtails. And she said to me, this is for you. I said, get away from me. I said, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. She says, you don't understand. God sent me to you.
Wow.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Don't even say that. God didn't send you to me. Who are you?
Mm.
And, you know, and I go to church and all that. You know what? It was God sending her to me.
Mm.
So, and by the way, after I got saved, which was in 1976, I wasn't a part of a church,
mm-hmm.
but I would go out with my Bible into the worst section of the city
mm-hmm.
of Springfield, Massachusetts. I won't even say where it was.
Don't say.
And I was there and I was talking to people and I didn't even know what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I just went out and I just told them, Jesus loves you. God cares for you. well, what's this? Oh, tell me something about that. I said, I don't have a whole lot to say. And then I met somebody one day. I was by myself at the Eastern States Exposition. It was a kind of an event that had 200,000 people. And I saw somebody passing out tracts. His name was Pastor Tom Stewart. Mm. And I asked myself a question, what's he doing? You know? And I ended up connecting. The church only had about 10 people at the time. Mm-hmm. And I went and I saw that they evangelized. Mm-hmm. And I said, this was the key, not the building, uh-huh. not what kind of music they uh-huh. had, not even the preacher. Uh-huh. It was they cared about lost people. Huh. That was what drew me. It wasn't any, I didn't know anything about, you know, preaching and teaching mm-hmm. and music and offerings and, you know, that kind of a thing. I was used to a certain denominational religious experience. This was all new to me. Mm-hmm. But what really kept me there was this. They talked to people about Christ. They cared about souls. Mm-hmm. This was it. And by the way, if your church doesn't care about souls, go to your pastor. What, are you afraid of him? Go to your pastor and talk to him. Say, like, how come we don't do any outreach? How come there is no reaching out? Mm-hmm. What's going on here? Because if it doesn't start with the pastor and leadership, mm-hmm. then of course, how do we expect that? And there may be people that will do it anyway because of conviction mm-hmm. That they get from God himself. But overall, the ministry is not involved with that at all. And that's very, very heartbreaking and very grieving to God.
What's interesting is that I think there's this mindset that we don't have, that God has got to give us, is that the Holy Spirit cares about lost people.
Yes.
That, I don't think people make that connection. They make the connection that Jesus Christ cares about lost people because he died for them. They make the connection that God the Father cares about lost people because he had a plan of redemption. But they don't see the third member of the Trinity's involvement in redemption, in salvation. So it never crosses your mind that I'm spirit-filled. Wouldn't that lead me to people? Wouldn't that lead me to open my mouth? We're a spirit-filled church, but we have no ministry toward people.
Spirit wrote the Bible, so I pick and choose and select what I want.
Wow.
Out of the Bible. I completely avoid Mark 16.
Of course.
I avoid Matthew 28. I avoid Luke 24. I avoid John 20. I avoid Acts. The whole book of Acts I'm going to avoid. I'm teaching it, by the way, starting tonight. The book of Acts. We're teaching Acts 1 and 2 tonight.
Okay.
They'll totally avoid Acts. And they jump over with their selective submission over parts of the Bible that have something to do with evangelism.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe it's a conscious or unconscious thing. Eventually mm-hmm. it becomes unconscious, or they read it and they say, that's, somebody told me this one time, that's only for people that have evangelical gifts.
Really? And that's why the church is backed off, because
yes.
they feel like the Spirit works in everybody uniquely, and
yeah.
that there's unique individuals that the Spirit says, you must share your faith and you must win the lost. But for the rest of us, we have the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit in us, he's not thinking about lost folks.
Right, he's not. And that's what's taking place. And it wasn't in the early church at all.
No.
It wasn't in the early church.
Okay, we have on line one, George Hayes, how are you, sir? You're on the Grace Hour.
Hey, Pastor Ronaldo, Pastor Chevelli, great, great show. Love it. I'm getting built up here as I'm sitting on the porch down here at my sister-in-law's house in North Carolina.
Wow.
And, visiting and just getting blessed here, listening. And, you know, when I was getting, you know, listening through the whole thing, I love when you were saying about, do you think that God will answer a prayer? Will you put somebody in my path today, Lord, that I can talk to about
yeah.
Jesus?
I mean,
Of course he will. Yeah,
you know, I mean, God cares for people. I mean, the very verse that is known by all Christians, born again Christians and even Christians that are not saved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. They don't really even read that verse.
Yeah.
They don't. And wait a minute. Do you love the world?
Mm.
Do you love the world? God gave his son for the world. And that's the key. And I think it's just a lack of really understanding the heart of God and the love of God and realizing, or like some of those things we said, only certain people do that.
Mm-hmm,
or,
mm-hmm.
Yes, I know there are people that are very gifted with evangelism.
Yes.
Of course they are. But that doesn't exclude other people from sharing their faith.
No.
This is so key. And really, really, really key. And
like there's gifted people that are gifted to sing, but doesn't
yes.
exclude us all from singing. I think sometimes we have a tendency to emphasize the person of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit in the church, but not in the church towards the world.
Right.
So I don't think as a church we have the Holy Spirit visiting our sessions and our assembly, but cannot the same Holy Spirit also want to win people beyond my doors?
How about this verse? Oh, I've heard people misuse this. Love not the world.
Yes.
See, don't bring the message to the world. It means don't love the system of the world, the evil.
That's right.
Okay, don't love that which is alien from and in opposition to the life of God. So this is so key. I think people have asked me sometimes, like, how is there almost 300 churches in Africa? Because we speak about evangelism and missions.
Sure.
In every conference we go.
Yep.
I tell people on set, and we have a conference Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I say, if you don't have any evangelism on Saturday, you want to have a session but no evangelism, don't invite me next year. Mm. You know what? I'm interested. Let's go out. Mm-hmm. Let's have a session of people going out. And those who do not want to, fine. There's no force in it, but we're still going to have a session where we're going to reach people. You know, and that doesn't happen. Our Christian school is reaching people.
Sure.
Okay. Our Bible school is reaching people. Our ministry, we have outreach, you know. Come on a Saturday morning and just come along. Maybe you say, I'm afraid. I have doubts. I have anxiety. Then just go with somebody.
Yeah.
And just listen and watch. I don't care if you come and listen and watch for a month or a year and mm-hmm. never say anything.
Yep.
Just be there. Be and before you know it, they're doing all the talking.
Sure.
That's what's going on, you know. And
every Saturday at 9:30 in the morning.
Yes.
6025 Moravia Park Drive. You can come join us on Saturday mornings for evangelism and learn about how the Holy Spirit can lead you in your ministry to people with the gospel. We have some questions here, Pastor Billy. Some greetings here. Pastor George from Uganda says, great to hear from you, Pastor Shabelli and Pastor Ronaldo. Anna Pinkova says, thank you for teaching evangelism. God is leading me to very hurting people that need God's mm-hmm. love. Denise Norton says, Pastor Shabelli, that's correct, I guess is what that means. And then she says, Pastor Shabelli, that interpreter was God. The Holy Spirit was supplying your need at that moment.
Amen, Denise.
She also says, Springfield preparations equal Africa. Praise God. Thank you. Ruth says, what's the Hebrew word for new creation?
Hebrew, it would be Greek.
Exactly.
It certainly could be Hebrew in the Septuagint per se, but Kano's katesis.
There you go.
New
Ruth?
Creation. Kano, that's new. K-A-I-N-O, katesis. K-T-I-S-I-S, something like that.
That's exactly right. And, of course, Aretha Carter, our favorite, always says, she says, amen and amen. We are to tell the good news of the gospel wheresoever we go. Have a blessed day. Love you all.
I go out usually on Saturdays with her grandson.
Okay. Yeah, he's around. I've seen him. Awesome guy.
That's great.
So that's the key. I think the key is changing my mindset. Sometimes we get into these little ruts where we have a certain understanding of how God is and how God moves in his body. And how can I say I'm a spirit-filled believer and the Holy Spirit that in me wants to win the lost, yet I have no desire to do it? It's the Holy Spirit.
I shut that part of the voice off.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit telling me that, you know, God wants to bless me with finances or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what shall the prophet of man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Mm. One soul is worth more than all the finances you could attain in this life. Mm. One soul. You can't buy a soul with billions of dollars. You can't do it. It's impossible. It's only the blood
Amen.
Of Christ that can buy the soul back. And, you know, I really still think this is true.
Mm-hmm.
Do Christians really believe in hell? That there's a place where a person is going to go who has refused Christ, that they are going to be forever. They're going to be forever, and there's no second chance. There's no like, okay, well, God will speak to them when they're in hell, give them an opportunity to get saved. No, he will not. That's not what the scriptures teach.
Yes.
That hell was a place created for the devil and his angels, and God doesn't want anybody going there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I make my choice to refuse and reject what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
I say no to God. And I say it not just one time or two times. My whole life is a constant rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Spurgeon once preached a message called The Deathbed of a Lost Person. Mm-hmm. And it was quite a powerful message, you know, and had a lot of converts to that message. But this is so key. the importance of reaching people and how you do it, where you do it, when you do it. That's basically, it can be led by God. Okay,
and that's the key right there. It's like, it's not just good works. It's not just me trying to help the church or me trying to help God, but it's me involving my relationship with the Holy Spirit and letting that relationship lead me in relationships with people. And that's really the confrontation. If I engage the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. I have the confidence, I have the discernment, I have the conviction of to see the value of it, to speak to anybody if I'm spirit-led.
Yeah. And, I mean, we also understand that the old sin nature, the flesh, doesn't want to do it.
Yes.
Come on. I mean, that's not a surprise to me. Mm-hmm. It's a war. Isn't it?
Sure.
Galatians 5:19 through 21 and 22. Mm-hmm. The flesh lusts against the spirit, mm-hmm. the spirit against the flesh. And that's why people cannot do what they would like to do, because the enemy hates it. Mm-hmm. So you've got a three-front war going on. You got the world system, you got the devil, and you got your old sin nature. Mm. So it's going against a desire to win people.
Yes.
Without a doubt. And it's sad. And I wonder, is the reason why churches do not grow, or maybe they grow without it, because who's sending those people anyway? I don't even know.
Wow.
You know, and maybe they people grow with it. You can see the book of Acts is filled mm-hmm. with missions, and here they are, and they go to Philip, a deacon, not even a pastor, goes mm-hmm. to Samaria. And then you have Paul, Acts chapter 9. Then you have Peter being led by the Spirit to Cornelius, 10 and 11. Mm-hmm. Well, wasn't that the Spirit's leading?
Yes.
Yeah, he led him to Cornelius. He led him to Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Then the Spirit speaks in Acts 13, "Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work I've called them to do." And then they go.
Yes.
13, 14, 16 again, mm-hmm. 17, 18, 19, 20, 27. You can see the Holy Spirit keeps moving them in these directions. And we'll talk about the different witnesses tonight.
Okay.
The witness in Jerusalem, the witness in Judea, Samaria, and on and on it goes. Mm-hmm. We can see that. We'll talk about that as part of Acts 1 and 2. You're all welcome to come. Don't worry about anything else. It's free.
Why would anybody worry? But what are some ways I can prepare my heart spiritually to do evangelism?
How about asking, like, one way would be, like, first of all, God, I struggle with this. Mm-hmm. Can you help me? You don't struggle with this. I struggle with this. Mm. So would you give me your thoughts?
That's good.
Isaiah 55, 8 through 10. My thoughts are not your thoughts, so therefore my ways are not your ways. Mm-hmm. So I need to have God's thoughts, and then it will produce God's ways.
Okay.
Thinking with God, this is the key. Thinking with God would help me to understand that the gospel is a part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking with God. And so that thinking, and I don't mean just an occasional thought that passes through as an emotional devotional and then is lost someplace.
Sure.
But I develop a pattern of thinking. I want to study evangelism in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I study evangelism in the Bible. We teach, come on out tonight. You can get 15 weeks of a course on mm-hmm. the book of Acts, all about evangelism.
Yep.
You can learn about evangelism by just coming.
Okay.
And that's okay. You know, so I need to be a receiver. Mm-hmm. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which can deliver your soul.
Amen.
My soul needs to be delivered from a negative thought pattern about evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. I need deliverance from that.
Yep.
And that can happen anytime. Mm-hmm. Anytime. Mm-hmm. Some people can do it on outreach because they're with a lot of people. How about when we're like there? I was sitting next to a man one time when I was getting my car fixed. And the Holy Spirit really laid it on my heart to speak to this man, and I did not. Mm. I just said no to God. I don't know what happened to me. The guy was calling me to come and look at the car, so I kept using it as an excuse. It was just sin is what it was. So I drove down here and to church. I came down to church to come to work, and I couldn't believe it, but the very same man was going into Newberry's. Mm. And I went up to him and I said, like, excuse me, I just saw you. He said, yeah, I saw you up in, I don't know, it was like in Bel Air.
Okay.
I saw you up there. And I said, I want to tell you something. I sinned and I was backslid at that particular point. And I was supposed to share with you the gospel. He goes, you know what? This is amazing because I'm a backslidden Christian myself.
Oh, my goodness.
He said, so backslider meet backslider. And let's both get right with God.
Amen.
No. And it was the leading of God.
Sure.
Does God want to win people?
Yes.
There's a good question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think God wants to save people?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do you think God loves people? Yes. So why can't I just ask God to help me to be a part of what he has for people in his eternal purpose?
Perfect. Awesome. That's an interesting thought. Here's an interesting question. Jesus saves people. How does he do it?
He does it through the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
That's the answer that I don't think many Christians get.
Yeah.
I think Jesus himself is doing the saving, and that the Holy Spirit is not part of the operation or the or participation, and they don't read John 1:12. They don't read the Colossians 1:13. They don't read the Holy Spirit being involved in the process of salvation. It's just like the Father's plan and the Son's work, and that's the end. But the Son said, I will work through the Spirit in the life of a believer.
Most avoided book in the Bible. Book of Acts.
Yes,
it really is. So he's gonna work through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Am I available to be a receiver? Okay, am I available to be a receiver? That's Acts 1:7-8. Mm-hmm. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what?
Witnesses.
Be witnesses.
Yes.
Testify. Martyrs is the word. Mm-hmm. You're going to testify about the person and work of God. That's what the Holy Spirit's ministry is.
Mm-hmm.
We read it in John 14:15-16.
Yes.
Okay? He's the Spirit of truth. He's a comforter. He's eternal. He testifies. He reproves. He guides. And he glorifies Jesus.
Mm.
This is what the ministry of the Holy Spirit does. But we just want to use him for certain things that benefit us.
So I learned God's mind. Number two, you kind of said I have to engage the Holy Spirit. If I'm going to go soul winning at all, before I even go, I have to engage. I have to, Ephesians 5:18, be spirit filled. Romans 8:14, be spirit led. Galatians 5:15-16, walk in the Spirit. All these things are important before I open my mouth to anybody.
Yeah. And I have to recognize that my flesh doesn't want to do it. So I need to be a spiritual person.
Amen.
Live in the new man. You know, the old man, the new man, Ephesians 4:21-23, Colossians 3:9-10.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:17, you know.
Beautiful. Thank you for joining us here on the Grace Hour today. We'll have services this weekend, Labor Day weekend. It's a long weekend, but it's not too long that you can't find time for God. We have services at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Sundays at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and also Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m., and tonight, Friday, down here at campus with 6025 Moravia Park Drive, there is Bible College with Pastor Shabelli, the Book of Acts.
Come on.
See you then.
Come on.
Take care.